reaching across the country for the biggest sports news this weekend. From Atlanta to Seattle, from Boston to LA, this is Big Sports Radio.
Big Sports Radio on the big football weekend. Larry Smith, Brad Sturdy, Mike Hegley, glad you're here with us. Tony Cordero, Josh Ewing, making it, make sure we do things the right way as well on this show. Big, big show coming up. Listen, guys, none other than Eddie George, producer Tony, talking with him earlier this week about the game. We'll get that conversation coming up. Also, Steve Kornacki talking Michigan Wolverines, Kevin Noone talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know, it's good to be the king. And it's also costly to be the king. And we'll talk about the price the Buckeyes are paying right now here in the offseason. And a good friend, Paul Crane, longtime CNN sports, a sports journalist, a sportscaster, anchor, and host, also Scripps News and national sports correspondent. He'll join us as well to talk about the big game that's on all of our minds right now, Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, 11th time that the game is being held down in the Crescent City, Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles. Guys, I love this. It's a rematch of 2 years ago, but two teams that played very well here down the stretch, and they know each other very well.
Yeah, it's a great matchup. I mean, you're going to see, the Eagles rely. They have a fantastic defense, obviously, and they're going to run the ball with Saquon Barkley, and Jalen Hurts is going to play off of that. And then you've got the Chiefs, who have, you know, Captain America, they're Patrick Mahomes, who just wins, and probably, I think, the best offensive coach in football in Andy Reid. So when you put those things together, it makes for a great matchup. And I really think, you know, last time, remember, it came down to the final play a couple years ago in that pass interference, right? That was called, or holding, or whatever it was, at the end of the game. So that game could have gone either way. Let's hope we have another great one.
Yeah. This looks like it's going to be a classic Super Bowl. Looks like it'll go down to the wire. I trust in Mahomes to do what's necessary to win the game. And this would be a cool thing from a Barkley standpoint, that we really haven't had a football team built around a running back win a Super Bowl for quite some time. This is, and in this era, it's almost unheard of to do what he's able to do. So it could be very groundbreaking, and maybe running backs will get a little more cachet and a little more compensation than they have recently.
You know, we've had some great games in New Orleans. We had the, you know, Niners and Ravens and the blackouts. We had the Bears blowout of the Patriots down there. I mean, it's always something, that dome, just crazy things happen. You never know. And so we'll see what happens here on Sunday. But should be a good one. We look forward to that. Want to also, we've got a lot to talk about that on the way. Don't think we're done with that. We just have a lot to talk about on that here these next 2 hours. Want to talk also about the NBA and just the crazy trades being made, including the one that, listen, it's been a few days. We still can't stop talking about it. The Lakers and the Mavs, Luka Doncic going to LA in exchange for Anthony Davis. No one's been able to. Maybe you guys can help me make sense of this.
Well, the Lakers said, we have a 25-year-old, five-time first-team All-NBA guy, and they're trying to give him to us, so we'll take him. And he's 25 years old, and then he's going to, you know, he hasn't even entered the prime. He's going to have, you know, he's entering his prime now. So for the next, you know, 10 years, you've got a guy who's going to be one of the best players in the NBA. I mean, I don't know how you can go wrong there as they're transitioning past the LeBron era of time. It's really a great addition for the Lakers. The Mavericks, I guess, are trying to win now. Their theory is that Anthony Davis is going to be the defensive presence that they need to help them, you know, maybe get a win in the next year or two. But man, I for me, the Lakers got to kind of fleece them, but that's just my take.
Yeah. To only get one first round draft pick. Yeah. I don't care if you have Anthony Davis. He's 6 years older. He's injury prone. They should have shopped this pick around, or shopped Luka around, and took the opportunity to grab 2, 3, 4 first round picks along with a major player. Just a crazy, crazy trade. And down here in Dallas, the conspiracy theory is that the Mavericks' new ownership did this to help the NBA, and then the NBA is going to make them able to move the franchise to Las Vegas. And now I know that's a crazy conspiracy theory, but, you know, we live in the era of conspiracy theories. So the angry Mavericks fans are thinking that we could be, they could be the the Las Vegas Mavericks at some point in time.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, I mean, listen, I'm not going to buy into that, but I do want to know, Brad mentioned in terms of Anthony Davis being the defensive presence. Brad, what is he guarding? The water cooler? Because this guy I'm going through in the last 7 years, he hasn't played even 70 games just once in that time. I mean, this guy is always injured. Listen, I mean, you know, he got an abdominal strain by eating a cracker a few days ago. I mean, it was this guy. He invents ways to be injured. And he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But is he a guy he's going to take you someplace? I say no.
That's why I don't eat crackers, Larry. Yeah. I stick with pizza.
That's salt. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
steak and important, you know, good food like that, cheeseburgers. But no, I don't think Anthony Davis is a guy that's going to take you to the promised land. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. I think he's a great player. There's no question. But, I mean, Luka's a top five player in the league. I mean, year in and year out. I just think that's a crazy thing. They just didn't – there were some things they didn't like about the way he thinks. I also think LeBron can be a really good influence on Luka. In off-season training, how you do things, how to go about some of your business. Because let's be honest, Lucas, he hasn't seen a guy like, you know, LeBron's longevity is just unparalleled, right? So maybe he can help Luca. I mean, because if Luca buys into the conditioning and training that LeBron does, look out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest hope. And I don't really understand what the Mavs were doing. Let's say that they would have picked up Jimmy Butler to go with Kyrie and Anthony Davis. Then maybe I'd say, okay, you could have done this. You could have been just as good with Luka, but okay, at least there would be something there for me to grab a hold of. But right now, this just looks like a GM who, for some reason, decided he had to have Anthony Davis and, you know, to heck with the rest of it. And, you know, it's a lot like buying a car. When you walk into a dealership, if you've decided that you have to have a car when you leave, you're not going to get a good deal. And he, you know, this guy went into there like, he started this. He didn't go to anybody else. And now, in fairness to Nico, there's no way I would have taken Kyrie Irving, and that's worked out pretty good for the Mavericks. So maybe he'll be laughing last, but I don't think so.
And to use that analogy, you go get the Carfax, you know, before you make that move.
Yes.
And you look around. Yeah. And you see there's some flaws there. So, and I agree with you. You shop around. I'm sure you get a much better deal. And it's just amazing you let go of Luka because you don't want to pay the Supermax contract. I mean, okay. Speaking of the Warriors, they print money up there. And boy, I think they got a fantastic player as a team that landed Jimmy Butler. Things had gone south, no pun intended, in Miami and needed to get out of there. I think him to the Warriors, he's got a motor still. He makes things happen. And I think it's an interesting pickup for them as they try to make one more run at a ring before Steph gets too old.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with the professionalism, you have guys like Steph around them and Draymond. I think he can fit really where although you know as well as I do that Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green are going to throw hands at some point during a practice.
Yeah.
It's almost inevitable.
Yeah.
I mean, it could happen on the bench. Who knows? But it will be so much fun. The entertainment value will be fantastic. But I think, you know, Butler wants to win. He wants to win a title. Steph can show you this is what we do, this way, the Warrior way kind of thing. And I think you can put those together. He brings a little bit of that edge and toughness that can help them get there.
Unfortunately, on that team, there's a lot of people who bring age with them. And I'm just a little worried that the geriatric team might get a little winded as the playoffs go on. But I got to give Golden State credit. You know, they very easily could have just torn this down, and they decided, well, Steph's going to stick with us. Let's see if we can get one more ring. I admire that. That's something I can't, you know, say don't try.
And the Western Conference isn't as strong as the East anymore. I mean, right. You know, West was really strong for a long time, and now it's the East that's kind of strong. So you look at these Western teams, whether it's the Lakers, the Mavericks, or the Warriors, they're all thinking, hey, we can get hot here. If we make the right moves, we can get hot and maybe get to the finals. Then you're, then you got a 7-game shot, right? I mean, you can beat anybody, can beat anybody in a 7-game series when they're at that level.
Yeah. And if you see what the Warriors gave up, I mean, none of these guys are going to be, you know, central building blocks for the next, you know, the next wave. So make the run while you can. To your point, you caught lightning in a bottle with the group you had. Let's see what happens with this. Want to talk quickly. We're going to talk more about Ohio State in a moment, but how about the Buckeyes winning a title and then losing both coordinators as a result? So congratulations, you're champions. And the guys who helped coach you there, well, they're gone.
Yeah. You know, obviously Jim Knowles took the money to go to Penn State. I mean, $3.1 million, highest paid coordinator ever. So, and I think Chip Kelly, you know, it's pretty clear. Chip Kelly went to Ohio State. He didn't want to recruit anymore. I think he's ready to just be an offensive coordinator, just go to the NFL now. He's going to go to the Raiders, and he's still trying to figure out who's going to play quarterback for him because they don't have one. So he may have to be very creative offensively, come up with they may have to run the option. So we'll see what happens there.
The Raiders. I thought you said he was going to the NFL.
Oh.
I would argue, but I can't.
Well, I will tell you.
There are 20 quarterbacks in college better than what the Raiders have, so I can't complain.
Well, Cowboys aren't much better, but at least the guys in college aren't being paid $60 million a year. I look at this, and it just seems strange to me. I don't know. I guess the money is what you want. I don't know that I'd want to go to somebody across the conference, especially somebody who hasn't been able to beat the big teams, but you know, good for Knowles. And then Chip, if he doesn't want to recruit, and let's face it, college football and college basketball recruiting has been a 24/7, 12-month a year job. I can really understand why somebody for the first time ever would want to go to the pros, even though you go 8-8, you get fired in a pro league. It's got to be a lot less hassles on the day-to-day living.
Yeah. Chip Kelly couldn't figure out why Las Vegas, why Mark Davis wouldn't show him the quarterback list till he got there. He goes, oh, Aiden O'Donnell and Gardner Minshew the second. Okay. Let's call Mark Mariota. Get over here. So Marcus Mariota. By the way, really quick, Leonard Hamilton, Florida State, says he'll step down into the season. We'll talk more ACC basketball later. That makes now seven ACC coaches who've walked away since April of 2022, and a lot of veteran guys there. You wonder why the ACC is struggling? Look at who they've lost in coaches the last 3 years, and that's a big reason why. All right, Steve Kornacki talks Michigan Wolverines up next. Eddie George still on the way this hour, and much more coming up. We'll debate the best Super Bowl performance ever. Still coming up this hour on Big Sports Radio.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer. And again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. That's 800-456-5371.
Talking Big Ten basketball now, and one of the teams that I don't think gets enough love is up in Ann Arbor. The Michigan Wolverines right now clearly have come through the first half of the season as one of the better teams. Of course, it's funny, all the contenders' schedules all get interesting here in the final few weeks as we head to the Big Ten tournament. Joining us once again, friend of the show, Steve Kornacki, a long time veteran Michigan Wolverines writer. He's written for the Detroit Free Press, newspaper in Ann Arbor, for the university itself, but currently he's the author of the Kornacki Wolverine Report you can find on Substack.com. Steve, good to see you again. Let's talk about this Michigan team and what Dusty May has done very quickly up there in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, it's so impressive. I mean, You look back, this team was 8-24 last year.
Yeah.
Wow. And now they're, you know, they're like just, they're in second place in the Big Ten. And he brought in all these players. And what the heck's going on here? You know, they only brought back three players from last year. Mm-hmm. And Namari Burnett and Will Cheddar are the only two who play. Jace Howard, the outgoing coach, Juwan Howard's son, is also a member of the team and a valued, you know, practice player, but he doesn't get in action very much. So they brought in all of these transfers, six transfers, three freshmen, and put together a great team. And the thing that he's done is he's really stressed, and all coaches do this, right? All coaches want a team that's together, that really plays for one another. But he really sought out guys who play that way. And one of the players he brought in was Vlad Golden from Florida Atlantic, who was in the Final Four game with him 2 years ago, Dusty May. I can't say enough about the job that Dusty's done. I mean, I started, you know, covering Michigan basketball when Johnny Orr was the coach. I wasn't a beat writer then until Bill Frieder was the coach. But I've seen all these guys come through, and it's amazing what he's done in this first year. I mean, Steve Fisher won a national championship in his first six games, so I guess that tops it. But gosh, a guy, and he is who he is. You know, I spoke to John Beilein about Dusty, and he just went on with glowing praise. You know, this was the man for the job. I knew he was the man for the job. If John, who's at the Big Ten Network now, if he's saying that, you know, this guy's the real deal, and that he just continues to impress everybody every day. And the practices have purpose, great detail. You know, a lot of things are emphasized, skills, teamwork. You know, it's just really impressive to watch him operate. And he never really loses his cool during a game either. Most basketball coaches will erupt from time to time at the refs, at somebody, at something. You know, he gets red in the face and he gets hot a little bit, you know, but he doesn't explode. He doesn't, I don't know if he's ever gotten a technical. I wonder if he has, but I don't think so. But now he's going back to Indiana on Saturday to play his alma mater. And he didn't play for Bob Knight. He was a manager for Bob Knight.
Right.
But he learned a lot from him. And when you think of Bob Knight, you think he'd be a guy that, you know, coaches, you know, in a totally more dramatic manner, but he's so controlled and he's taken, you know, so much from so many people that he's coached under.
Yeah. Yeah. He has just been, done an outstanding job, but give him time on the whole calm demeanor on the sidelines. It's just first year in the Big Ten. It's coming. Big Ten refs will drive you there. You know, either that, or it's, you know, it's
out. You guys have seen the same calls I've seen. Sometimes you just can't believe it. And you know, I never officiated basketball. I umpired in baseball, you know, so baseball obviously totally different than the fast moving pace of a basketball game. There's a lot to keep up with, but there are some calls that we've seen that, how do you miss that?
Yeah. best story I heard was during the Kofi Coburn years, who next week will have his jersey lifted to the rafters officially. It's already there down at Illinois. He was getting hammered in a game against Northwestern, and Brad Underwood went to ask the referees, like, what are we doing here? And he said, well, he's so big and strong and powerful, we can't call it every time. Yes, you can.
Wow. An amazing admission.
Yeah. Why are we here? You know, so, but Dusty, mate. Yeah. And you know, you got to think the Indiana fans who were, you know, been booing Woodson in the first half of games already in 2025. Horrible. Yeah. Which is just terrible. But you got to wonder that if Indiana, you know, isn't kicking themselves, that they maybe had a shot at getting May, maybe, you get rid of Mike Woodson a year early and you bring in, you know, the alma mater, you bring in the grad, you know, to come in and save alma mater. But instead, he's done a great job and very quickly restored Michigan back up to, you know, to a ranked status. And the thing is, what you want every team to do is peak at the right time. And they spent the first 2 months working through some things. They lost to, you know, a very pedestrian Arkansas team in New York. They just didn't have it that night, but they've grown since then. And now, you know, it appears that they can stay on track here in the final few weeks. They're on the verge for it's now triple bye, I guess, in the Big Ten tournament, and you know, they'll open in the quarterfinal round on Friday.
Yeah, they're in a good spot. I mean, that's where you want to be, that's for sure. And it's you know, that, you're right. You know, that's a good observation, Larry, that you want teams that are peaking, that are getting a little better. And on the show that they have on Sunday mornings, the coach's show, they're inside the locker room and they show him talking to the team after the games. And that's what he stresses. He says, you know, we won today. You know, we played well. You know, we've got a lot, we got a long ways to go, but we're getting there. You know, we can win championships, but you don't win championships this month. You win them next month. Yeah. And we're getting there. I know this team can win a championship, and he builds his team, the psyche of his team in a good way. You know, don't get ahead of yourself. You know, just take it. And the stress, every coach in every sport, play today, you know, play the next play, play this game. And he gets through to these guys. But I think the whole key to it is he got guys who want to play as a team. Everybody says they do, but most guys really want to be the star. Mm-hmm. He gets guys who really want to play for each other. It's really touching to see. And you know, watch these guys on the sideline, you know, when they're not in the game, watch how they're talking. They're talking very comfortably, like they're just guys hanging out. You know, usually on the sidelines, guys are just kind of like, you know, leaning forward and like they don't say much. But these guys are engaged even on the bench, and they're engaged on the court, and they're not perfect. I mean, turnovers have been the problem for them. But I mean, they win games with how in the world do you win? How much talent do you have to average about 15 turnovers and win at the pace that they want? Somehow yeah. They've managed to overcome the turnovers, which Michigan fans just keep pulling their hair out about the turnovers, but they also play at a fast pace. I mean, that's his style to, you know, play defense, get the rebound, fast break, you know, hit a quick pass, you know, take the three or drive to the basket. That's their offense. And they're gifted because they have a really nice point guard in Trey Donaldson. He's been playing a little bit hurt, but he's still being very effective. He can do anything you want. He can hit a three. He's got eyes in the back of his head. He sometimes, when he's totally healthy, he's really fast. He's really quick, and he thinks on the run. You know, very sharp player. But on top of that, they've got a 7-foot power forward who can dribble like a guard, and that drives defenses crazy. You know, how do you deal with that? You know, how do you stop that guy? And some teams like Purdue did a good job, you know, of Vlad Golden and Danny Wolf combination, the 2 7-footers. They call them Area 51 because one of them is 50 and one of them wears one. But until teams picked up on it, they had this two-man game, high-low game going that nobody could stop, and they were just killing people. Now people have figured it out a little bit, but they still pull it off some. But the fact that those guys can also hit three-pointers, you know, they're a tough team to defend.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, they got so much length as well and so much talent. I want to get in before I let you go. You talked about, again, at Indiana Saturday. In their last eight games, they are at home against number 7 Purdue, at home against number 9 Michigan State. They're at home against number 23 Illinois. They'll be out of the polls next week. And then they're home against Maryland, and then you got to go to number 9 Michigan State. So I mean, that is, you know, 5 ranked teams in the final 8 games. And of the other games, we've seen Nebraska pull off big wins, we've seen Rutgers pull off big wins, we've seen Ohio State pull off big wins. So I mean, literally, there is nobody in these final 8 games that's an automatic for this team. I mean, if they finish strong, they will have earned it.
And that's absolute truth. And on top of that, everybody else is in the same situation, right?
Yeah.
There's not really an easy team in the Big Ten. There's 18 teams and none of them are easy. That's amazing. So anybody can beat you. You got to bring it every game. And if you don't, you'll be going home with the L instead of the W.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That great up-tempo play very quickly, 30 seconds. How will that play in the tournament when you've got to play possibly 3 games in 3 days?
I think they'll be fine because they're deep. You know, they've got a good bench, and last night, Will Cheddar came off the bench to score 17 points in 16 minutes.
Wow.
So they've got a dangerous scorer, Sam Walters, who is hot and cold. And that's the thing, you know, you gotta be hot all the time in the postseason, but they've got other guys coming in off the bench that are effective and you know, so that's key. I mean, they need to be able to play 7, 8, 9 guys at that pace, and they do. And nobody plays a lot of minutes, so they're not really worn out.
Yeah, yeah. And that's big come March when a lot of teams are, you know, you've got your stars playing 30-plus minutes every single night. Steve, always great to talk with you. Happy New Year. I'm not sure we've talked since the New Year turned over. And enjoy the games. I'm sure that we'll be talking again here before we get serious deep into March. But we'll talk to you soon.
That's great, Larry. Great talking to you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too. Steve Kornacki, once again, author of the Kornacki Wolverine Report. You can find it on Substack.com. Big game this week, and we mentioned the Wolverines down at Bloomington taking on Indiana. Dusty May's alma mater. And again, like so many contenders, the juggernaut awaits after that. Watch this space. Okay, more to come right here on Big Sports Radio.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
You're listening to the Big Sports Radio Network with Larry Smith, Mike Kegley, and Brad Sturdy.
Welcome back to the show here on Big Sports Radio. Larry, Mike, and Brad are off judging a pizza and wing eating contest right now. So producer Tony stepping in to fill the void and man the microphone. And we have a really special guest to bring you right now. He is a former Heisman Trophy winner. He played for the Tennessee Titans in the NFL. And he is currently the head coach at Tennessee State University. Mr. Eddie George. Eddie, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing, Tony? Good seeing you, my friend.
We're doing good. We're doing good. Eddie, as you can tell, our listeners already know I'm a big Notre Dame fan, been a fan all my life. So before we get started, congratulations. Great game in the national championship. Hats off to Ohio State. They earned that national title this year. It was a great ball game.
Yeah, they had a great turnaround. Great year for them. Great playoff run. I had nothing to do with it. You know, I'm just proud of my university and really proud of Marcus Freeman as well. I'm really good friends with him. And just the job that he's been able to do at Notre Dame. Played a competitive ball game. Great year for the Irish. Great things in store for the Irish. Great respect for that program. And I just feel like it was just an awesome year for college football as far as the playoff was concerned. I mean, it was really, really well done. Of course, they're going to tweak some things here and there. But in terms of the matchups, you couldn't ask for a better 4 weeks or 5 or 6 weeks of football and finding out who the national champion is going to be. I think they hit the home run with this one.
That's always good to hear because, you know, that we've all been looking forward to that playoff for so many years. Yeah. And seeing it come down to that and having more teams involved, obviously that's always a great thing for college football. Your Buckeyes in a little bit of transition right now after the national championship. Chip Kelly going back to the NFL. Coach Knowles going to Penn State. Is that part of the process now in college? It seems it's almost like the NFL. When success hits, everybody comes and raids the coordinators. So,
listen, that's NFL, college, little league, high school, you know, junior college, just every level. When success comes there, yeah, people are going to poach your guys. And that's it. That's a part of it. And I know that Ryan Day has a succession plan in place. He understands what it is. And, you know, he's developed coaches to elevate in his program. You know, I think Ryan Hartline now is the offensive coordinator. You know, Ryan still has his thumbprint on the offense and the offensive play calling. Defensively, you know, that's going to be another situation, but he'll figure it out. So, you know, kudos to those guys. I mean, I mean, I'm dealing with the same situation here at Tennessee State. Two of my guys are interviewing for offensive coordinator positions, you know? So I've had to learn to keep a Rolodex or a book of coaches that I can call on and figure out how they can help my program. So it's a part of the business, and you get better. You get better with each hire. So that's the nature of it.
You know, Eddie, you and I share one thing in common. I've been doing football for 25 years. A lot of knee problems. I know from your time in the NFL, you have knee problems. We all have different ways of trying to deal with that pain. You've dealt with yours. Tell me a little bit about your knee issues that came out of the NFL.
Oh, wow. Well, mainly it was my right knee. It was arthritic. It constantly swelled up. My quality of life was going down year after year. You know, it was almost bone on bone, had very little cartilage in the knee. And it was just getting, every year was getting worse. I remember I ran a marathon shortly after I got out the NFL and kept running on it. Every year would just get a click and I couldn't quite have the power, and it got scoped and the scopes didn't work. Then I started getting the gel put in there, the stem cell, did everything and anything to get over the pain. So finally I had to get my knees replaced, both of them, because as a result, my left knee went out. So Pacera and the opportunities they gave me not to, you know, take over-the-counter drugs in terms of masking the pain, taking Toradol shots, you know, I didn't want to do any of that stuff. Just to have a good quality of life. So I got the shots in my leg, which I can go through the whole process of it where it freezes up your nerves and all of that. But it's provided me some time to, hey, I don't have to feel the pain of it. It numbs the pain. And it's very non-invasive. It's very easy to go into, easy procedure that takes about 40 minutes to do. And you can get it done every 3 or 4 months. So it's been very helpful in terms of my quality of life. It's a part of my lifestyle now. So I'm a big fan of it, and I'm thankful for it, you know. So now my knees are replaced. I still get the treatments every now and again to tweak it up. And there's a new lease on life. And I worked out this morning at 5 a.m. I walked on the treadmill. I'm going to run tomorrow. I can play golf. In fact, it's added some more distance on my drives. Instead of me hitting a 200-yard drive, I'm able to hit now 250.
That's awesome.
You know, well, that's not nothing to brag about, but I'm still trying to get that 320 to 350 drive. So I'm able to turn and do things and walk my dogs and walk around the neighborhood. Because there were times, I mean, just walking down the stairs was a chore, or walking down the hill with my dogs. It was just, I'm shuffling like a 90-year-old man. And you just don't understand, like, over time, you just adjust to the pain. You just manage it, and it wears on you emotionally, spiritually. Your self-confidence is not there because you're not able to walk, you know, just the simple thing. So I've been blessed enough to be, I guess, a candidate for the knee replacements, but also to have taken these treatments, which pain management has been phenomenal.
Would you say then, you know, that these treatments from Pacera has really helped elevate your quality of life since you started doing it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a completely different person now. I feel like I got a new zest for life. It's truly amazing, just in my energy, in my mood, in my overall attitude has been elevated. You know, now that I'm a coach, I've been standing on my feet for 3-4 hours a day on the field. And there were times when I couldn't demonstrate a drill, had to stand still in one place for a while because I would be so drained because I felt like I'm carrying, you know, 1,000 pounds and just trying to walk through a minefield without hitting those painful spots. And that's not how you want to live. So now that I'm able to do that, I'm able to run freely, walk freely without worrying about if it's going to catch a certain way. So it's been very helpful.
Let's talk a little bit about it. It is Super Bowl week, Super Bowl weekend, big games coming up Sunday. as you watched Saquon Barkley as a running back, first of all, seeing that rejuvenation of the running back position, what did that mean to you? And what do you think of Saquon as he gets ready to face the Chiefs? Can he make the difference Sunday for the Eagles?
Absolutely. I mean, the offense runs through the running back, and it hasn't been that way for quite some time. I mean, Derrick Henry certainly had that same thing during his run with the Titans, and now with Baltimore, Saquon has just really taken it to another level as far as being able to control a game and hit the home run from anywhere on the field. He's a threat in the passing game. The offensive line is nasty. So you combine that with a great defense, they have a great chance to do it. You know, I often say that their running game is an extension of your defense. They go hand in hand. So his reemergence has brought a light to the fact that, hey, if we don't have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, maybe we need to have a back like Saquon Barkley. And the Giants wrote him off as washed up, you know, wasn't a guy that they can rely on. But we're seeing the value of having a running back, because if you don't have an element of a run game, you're not playing for a championship. And you can look at it at every level of football this past season, whether it's the Super Bowl or the national championship game. Notre Dame and Ohio State both were able to run the football. You know, two great backs, Travion Henderson, Jeremiah Love, Quinton Judkins. You know, you look at our level, FCS football, Montana State and North Dakota State were able to run the football. Both had two 2,000-yard rushers. You know, so the run game is still relevant, and you have to have an element of that or be dominant in it if you want to win championships.
So when you look at the game, we know the Eagles' perspective. We know that they're going to have to kind of count on that running game, whether Barkley and Jalen Hurts, probably both together. On the flip side with the Chiefs, going for the three-peat, as a guy from the NFL, where does that place, if they were to complete it, where does that rank them in the all-time teams in your mind, and where does that put Patrick Mahomes?
It's certainly puts him at the top, or not the top spot, as the GOAT, because that's something that Tom Brady hasn't been able to do. Now, I'm not going to discount Tom's accomplishments. I mean, you know, seven rings, and to leave New England and win one in Tampa Bay, this says that he is that guy. Now, a three-peat is unheard of. It has not been done. So I think, you know, based off of his body of work, if you compare apples to apples, I would still say Tom is number one, but closing in on him quickly as a 1A is definitely Patrick Mahomes, because, you know, you think about the number of games that he's played in where it was one score games or where he had the ball last. I think he's undefeated. You know, he's undefeated. You know, no one has been able to crack that code. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter if he's up or down, you're ahead in overtime. You give him an opportunity to have the ball last, he's going to make you pay. He's going to find a way to win the game. So, I think the Chiefs are on a level that we haven't seen. This dynasty will be ranked among the top dynasties that we've seen of all time. You know, we're talking about the Steelers, we're talking about the Niners, you're talking about the Patriots, you know, those great organizations. The Chiefs run is really something special to acknowledge.
When you look back on your career, what are your memories of being in the Super Bowl? What do you always, you know, keep in your heart from that mm-hmm. contest? Because every football player's dream to get there and play in that game.
You're right. What I remember the most is my teammates, like Bruce Matthews and Javon Kurse and Steve McNair, and just the joy that we shared, and the brotherhood that we had, and the moments that we had together, and getting to that place and realizing a dream together. It was awesome. And we left everything out there. Frank Wycheck, another one, God bless his soul. We left every report, everything we had, left it out in that field. And that's something that you don't ever regret. You know, We fought. We fell short, but we're very proud of our accomplishments and we were able to accomplish in that day and time. We didn't win it, but we felt like we won it because we gave everything we had. And you know, it was no one counted it. No one thought we would ever be in that position, but us. And we did it the old-fashioned way. We earned it.
Love that. Love that. Give me your prediction. If, you know, game time is Sunday. What does Eddie George see happening, and how does it turn out?
I see the Eagle defense really stepping up and giving Kansas City some problems. I mean, they're the number one defense for a reason. I think they match up really well. It's going to take some time for that run game, the Eagle run game, to get going, because I also think on the other side, the flip side, is that Kansas City and Spagnuolo, they're pretty special. They got a good defensive front that can neutralize the run game. The X factor is going to be Jalen Hurts. He's going to have to make some plays with his legs, certainly with his arm. I think he's going to be the key factor in all of this, you know. So with that said, I think the Eagles will win a grinder out. I think they'll find a way to get it done. I think it's a time for Saquon Barkley. He's had a special year. I think he caps it off with a Super Bowl win, Super Bowl MVP. I like the Eagles to win by two.
Perfect. Now, for our listeners who may be suffering with that knee pain like we talked about before, where can they go to get some more information if they want to look at some of these new techniques and some ways to treat their knee pain?
I would go to Passaria.com, look at the various ways to look at for pain management. There's different treatments, different methods of doing it without having to, you know, take medicine for it, that taking pills and so forth. So it's, again, a non-invasive way to alleviate your knee pain. And it just buys you a little bit more time. You know, hopefully you won't have to get replacements and all of that, but it definitely helps out your quality of life.
Eddie George, thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us today. Really appreciate it. Good luck at Tennessee State. Hopefully we'll see you in some of those FCS championship games down the road.
Hey, that's what I'm working on, man. That's what I'm committed to. So we're working on it. I appreciate that. Thank you, Tony.
All right. That is Eddie George, again, head coach, Tennessee State University. Keep a follow on him. Keep an eye on that program. They're going places. We'll be right back on Big Sports Radio right after this.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you're making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt, that's what you do. It's not your fault, it's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-507-7293. 800-507-7293. 800-507-7293. That's 800-507-7293.
Are you tired of your website making your business look bad? Is your current web developer dropping the ball? Let's face it, if your website isn't making you money, it's broken. Let Neon Rain create a website that turns your visitors into customers. Neon Rain has worked with hundreds of businesses across North America, building custom websites and applications with modern designs that are easy to update and work well on mobile devices. They can do it for you too. What sets Neon Rain apart? They actually deliver on their promises. Call today for a free consultation, 303-957-3092. That's Neon Rain at 303-957-3092. Or visit them at neonrain.com.
Well, if you haven't gotten your chips and dip yet, you still have some time. Super Bowl 59 coming up Sunday. It is from New Orleans, Kansas City versus Philadelphia, a rematch of the big game a couple of years ago. Fellas, we're around the same age. I know Mike was around back when college football was king. and used to, you know, back when the Army Princeton games were big. But curious, earliest Super Bowl memory. What's the first game you can remember?
I was just a youngin'. Super Bowl 11, the Raiders over the Vikings, 32-14. That's when I get, maybe I was a little bit of a Raiders fan before that, but Raiders over the Vikings with the Snake, Kenny Stabler, all those guys, and Dave Casper, and Mark Van Egan, and Cliff Branch, and Fred Biletnikoff, the Mad Stork, Ted Hendricks, all my guys. It was fun.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture of Kenny Stabler. He looks like he's like 60, and then I found out he was 38, and they had a picture of him next to Tom Brady at 45, who looks like he's 20. the cigarettes did wonders to people growing up with, you know, everybody smoking around you. My first Super Bowl memory was a traumatic one of Lynn Swann with his two catches against the Cowboys. That was horrific. I'm sure I bawled like a little baby, upset about that loss. But I will tell you that there was nothing better as a kid. Like nowadays, you're like, oh gosh, will the pregame show ever get over? And as a kid, you were like, oh, they're going to talk for 2 hours. And it was Super Sunday was just a great event growing up. And nowadays, you know, it's like, just get me to the game and let's hope there's no controversies that will trigger half the country one way or the other.
Yeah, I think probably Super Bowl 12, Steelers Cowboys, probably the first one. I mean, favorite one obviously was, you know, Super Bowl 20, with the Bears doing their thing and Walter Payton and Super Bowl Shuffle, the boys, the Bears.
Was anticlimactic though. They just beat the snot out of them, and it was,
yeah, but it was so wonderful, you know. It was just beautiful thing. And it was in New Orleans too. Speaking of New Orleans, have you guys been to the city? Fan of the city? Any great memories of the city?
Yeah, so my New Orleans, I got to go to, I can't even tell you this story, but anyway, I got to go to Bourbon Street for New Year's Eve when Illinois played in the Sugar Bowl back in the day, a little over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It was an entertaining. And so I think you probably heard this story, but you guys off the air, but I won't share it, but it was definitely an interesting experience.
How many beads did you get, Brad?
a couple
100. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of New Orleans, and I don't drink a lot, but I did find out that those hurricanes, they taste like Kool-Aid. So my first time there, I drink everything fast. So I had two of these big, huge hurricanes, and I'm like, well, I'm just drinking juice. It's no big deal. About 30 minutes later, whoa, that was interesting. And then the next day, I was at a pharmaceutical convention. The next day at a meeting, the VP announces that we had somebody who did really well in the karaoke contest the night before. And I was like, huh, I wonder who that was. And then I found out it was me. And I was like, uh-oh. And then I had people high-fiving me all morning. I'm like, man, people are really excited today. And I'll be honest with you, I've drank maybe more than two beers twice since I've been married. And I will never drink two hurricanes in 15 minutes. I will tell you that.
Learned your lesson. That's hilarious. A couple of memories for me. I was down there for the Final Four, the Carmelo Anthony Final Four, when Syracuse beat Kansas in 03. And then later, when the Saints returned to the Superdome after Katrina, was really cool. That was a couple of good memories there. Hey, let's talk about, I want to get your thoughts on the best performance ever in a Super Bowl. And here are the thoughts. Kurt Warner, 414 yards when the Rams beat the Titans. Terrell Davis, 157 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns for the Broncos. Joe Montana, 5 touchdown passes against the Broncos. Jalen Hurts, just 2 years ago, 304 yards passing, 70 yards rushing. But the Eagles come up short in that one. Again, Doug Williams, the great Washington quarterback, 340 yards and 4 touchdown passes back in the 80s against Denver. Kind of 5 to kind of think about. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to add, how about the other two that I would say, Marcus Allen, 191 rushing yards, and that misdirection. Remember, he went one way and came back and then took it to the house. And then Jerry Rice. What do you have? 11 catches for 215 yards in the one Super Bowl. So I don't know. Those are my other two ones. Some great performances.
I'll go for a couple memorable plays. First off, one that cost me a boatload of money because I would have won both the Cowboys and the Bills for not just the fourth quarter, but the Super Bowl. When Leon Lett got that ball taken away right before the end zone, would have been a touchdown. I would have made a lot of money. And I'm like, no, Leon, not again, with memories of the Thanksgiving game. And then one that I barely remember, but I see on replays, was the Garo Yepremian play, where he literally does the worst pass that a human being could ever do.
Yeah.
I'm not certain if an alien who came to Earth and was handed a football would throw the ball worse than Garo did, as he went out and he picked up that block kick and then proceeded to throw a pick six, which I use the word throw with quotation marks.
Sure.
To me, those two plays were just plays that stick out as just hilarious moments in Super Bowl history.
I think for me, I think the Doug Williams was big. The first black quarterback in that kind of game was just huge. And I think to his career, you know, everyone kind of ripped his completion percentage, you know, when he was in Tampa Bay. But one, they were a terrible team. And two, he threw the ball away because he's always under duress instead of taking a sack. So it's, you know, there was a reason for that. And I think the Kurt Warner, too. Love Kurt's story. Just, you know, the guy, you know, the underdog, stocking shelves and comes out, and that Rams team just was unbelievable. Greatest show on turf. Great Super Bowl in Atlanta there. And then the Titans still almost went in the end, but that was also fantastic. More memories, I'm sure, coming up on Sunday as we watch this game from New Orleans, Chiefs and the Eagles. We'll talk more about that here coming up. All right. We'll take a timeout. We've got more conversation to come.